Let's talk to Grant McCauley as we go around the yard. And guys, it is a big weekend for our Braves. Grant, a couple of days off. Okay.
Yeah.
Now we are hopefully refreshed as the Royals come in here. We know those two games are on the books for Monday. But how much scoreboard watching are we doing this weekend? Because, I mean, yes, we have to do what we need to do, but also some other games may determine what happens, right?
Yeah, a lot of other games could be, determining what's going to happen by the time you even get to Monday. I mean, the thing for the Braves, and they've been this way for a while, and Brian Snitker reaffirmed it before the game again tonight, is we've got to win a baseball game today and then figure out tomorrow once we get there. And that's kind of the overarching theme, I think, for this club at this point. You can see it in their pitching plans where they are using Max Fried in game one against the Royals. The rest of the starters moving forward to be determined, and none bigger than Chris Sale, and when they're going to pull the cord on using him, we're going to find out. And it may just be if the Braves find themselves at any point facing elimination, needing to advance, I guess, would also qualify for that in terms of that doubleheader on Monday. We just don't know how all that's going to play out. But in the meantime, the Braves have got to beat up on the Royals if they can do that. That's job number one. Then they got to hope that the Brewers can do a little bit of a number on the New York Mets. That could create a scenario in which maybe, possibly, perhaps, you don't have to play both of those games on Monday.
I guess because Sale's kind of in this like limbo right now, he just does how do they handle that? Like, do like a bullpen session every third day? Or how does that work?
No, I don't think he's going to be throwing a lot on the side.
Okay.
I don't know if he's done some of that maybe today. I mean, he's going to continue to throw as needed, but not going with those full-on between-start sessions, perhaps as much as anything, to just maintain some readiness. And if you did need to use him on either a shorter-term basis, you kind of get into, and we can spend the whole call really talking about all the scenarios of,
right.
Well, if you don't use Sale here and you save him for this, what if you don't get to that? Then you're going to be kicking yourself. Or if you use him here, then he's not available for this other time where you really need him. It just seems kind of like it's a catch-22 in some ways, but it's one you certainly want to be in, but was made far worse and more complicated by him not getting to throw on Wednesday.
I was going to say, Brady Singer, Carl and I were just talking, who is this? I guess he spent his whole career with the Royals, and he's under .500 for his career. What is he?
Yeah, I mean, he's a decent arm. He's just one of those guys that you try to, build something when you're Kansas City with young players and clearly young pitching. I believe he's a University of Florida product.
Mm-hmm.
I still think some upside there, but they didn't really feel like, Brady Singer was a guy that was going to be leading their rotation at this point, certainly. That's why they went out and got the Seth Lugos and Michael Walkers to really supplement. And those guys stepped up big time and are one of the big reasons why the Royals have been who they've been for most of this season is the fact that they haven't had a bunch of comings and goings in their starting rotation. It's been a really solid part of their team and of their winning formula. So regardless of who it is, what their record is, and anything at this point, you just got to go out there and, I think, continue to do what the Braves were able to do in that first game against the Mets on Tuesday. If that's the formula for it, setting the order or setting the top with Michael Harris and getting the whole order involved, that'll certainly play if the Braves can get the pitching they're accustomed to.
Yeah, and I think our guys are motivated. I mean, it's right here for you, right? I mean, that's the other cool thing. It's Grant McCauley, guys. It's Dukes and Bell talking about this big series for our Braves this weekend. Now, normally everybody would finish on Sunday and we'd know who was in, who was out. But because of the weather and the circumstances, we are going to have a situation on Monday. Now, Mets fans, Grant, just real quick, if a Braves fans are like, I don't know, Mets fans, remember just 2 years ago, they had a one-game lead on us,
right?
And we had six games to play, and we swept those guys in Atlanta. So, I mean, the point is, this is right here for the taking if we can handle our business.
Yeah, I mean, the Braves are no strangers to making that late-season push. I mean, you just laid it out right there. I mean, would we have seen something like that this past week? Well, not no. At this point, it's just kind of on hold, and then now the circumstances are, can you sweep a doubleheader if you need to in order to finish the thing off? Because it may come down to one or both of these teams needing to do that in order to advance. It might just be that kind of thing. And so when we find out the results of this weekend, basically there's only one worst-case scenario, which is the Mets sweep the Brewers and the Braves get swept here at home. If that happens, for sure, it's all over but the screaming, as they like to say. And then I don't think you'd have to play that game on Monday. I wouldn't imagine. I don't know if you'd have to play it because of, and I've read all kinds of different scenarios of, well, does it matter for Arizona? Does it matter for seeding? Because in the Mets, will it play two less games? And is that fair? And I'm like, well, life's not fair. Do you really want to do that in the day before the wild card series starts? But it's Major League Baseball. So, probably not. If you've got a great idea, you can go ahead and keep it because they're going to do it their way.
So the Brewers, we talked about them earlier with the Mets. Do the Mets get the Brewers' best game, or do they maybe rest some guys, or how's that play?
Here's the other thing about the Brewers, and looking at the standings coming into the day, they are three games behind the Philadelphia Phillies for the second-best record, which would allow them to obviously get a bye to push themselves out of having to be in this wild card
round. So they're motivated.
They're motivated. I'm guessing, and I got to look at this, so don't quote me and certainly don't place it into evidence, but if they've got the tiebreaker over the Phillies, then that's a lot of motivation for them to get out of that, for them to get everything out of the series that they can and then get a rest. But the Padres, they're just waiting to see who's going to come play them, and the Brewers are pretty much in that same boat, though they could, at least in part, I'm guessing, push through and try to put what is some semblance of a lineup and a pitching staff together, because the integrity of the game is important and it does matter to the other teams, and you don't want to just be throwing a white flag three games to go in the season.
D-backs here in the second half, I got to bring them up because these three teams are vying for those two spots, but they've been hot. I mean, we talk about Monty Harris, who's, on this 8-game hitting streak, 5 straight multi-hit games, but the D-backs, as far as a team, They've probably been the hottest of all of these three teams that are vying for these two spots, right?
No, the Padres have been. The Diamondbacks have kind of backslidden at a really bad time over the last week and a half in particular, and now they've pretty much head-to-head got to find themselves a way to beat the Padres and kind of hold serve so that the Braves and the Mets don't step over the Arizona Diamondbacks in this final weekend.
D-backs offense, Suarez, I think he's hitting .341. In the month of September, 8 home runs this month. He's been big.
He's been big,
yes. And that's why I'm saying that may help us if the D-backs, again, are able to beat the Padres. Guys, there's so many scenarios to Grant's point about this whole situation. Let me ask you this. These last few days, everybody's worried about their families, their homes, et cetera. Has it been stressful for these guys? It's not like they were just at the ballpark waiting around.
Yeah, it didn't seem like it was, and I think that, maybe the metro Atlanta area and a lot of places had some spots that were obviously a little more waterlogged than others, but it doesn't seem to be a huge factor with what's going on here. It's not noticeable at the ballpark in any way, shape, or form, so in that respect, they're kind of able to come in and, I think, do what they need to here. But, that's kind of, and I've seen a lot of the complaints about, from the Mets side of things, well, now they got to go to Milwaukee, and then they got to come back to Atlanta, and then they got to get on a plane and play in the playoffs. Yeah. And let me tell you about the first world problems that you're dealing with right now, and also how home and away games work. It's just somebody was going to get stuck with it. Or would you have rather been the team that had to hunker down and wait for a storm to pass and hope that you were going to be able to play your weekend? None of this is ideal, I guess is why I say it. So I think everybody's done a pretty good job on the field of the 26 men in the clubhouse, the coaching staffs, and so forth, of tuning that kind of noise out.
Grant McCall is with us here, guys, as we get ready for the crucial series. Again, it's so weird, Grant, to say, with the remaining 3 to potentially 5 games left on the Braves schedule, I've gone round and round with listeners a couple of times. I know you get it all the time on social media. With all the injuries and everything that Snicker had to deal with, the pitching stuff, to me, I can't blame Snicker for any shortcomings of this squad. Some of the things are just too much to overcome. And I think, yes, over 162 games, you're going to be upset about, well, maybe Snicker let Charlie Morton in too long for this game or that game, whatever. I can't get on Snicker's case for this. To me, he gets no blame for this if they don't make the playoffs.
All 30 managers have to deal with the second guessing. That goes with the job, and I don't think that's something he's particularly concerned with, because one thing I will say as far as the pitching staff is concerned, and then I'll put my soapbox away, is that they're managing things that from a public-facing persona, we're just not going to know about. Different factors, different aches and pains, different stuff that's going on with the human beings who are out there on that team on a given night. And sometimes you play a hunch and it doesn't work. We've all, I think, played at some level of something competitively. And, you're just not guaranteed to get the outcome that you want when you make a decision. And I'll also say that on the flip side of that coin, just because you made a different one doesn't mean it would have worked either. There's just really no way to know. It's just you're kind of going and doing the best you can. And I think he's done more than the best that he can do for the majority of this year. The Braves' frustrations far beyond what pitching change was made or not made has been that offensively they haven't been a team that's been consistent. And that's hurt them a lot. And nothing has hurt them worse than injuries that have taken away some of their best players for long periods of time. So if you're making a list of the stuff that went wrong or is responsible for the Braves not winning the National League East this year in a runaway, Brian Snitker, I don't even know if he's going to make that list for me. And in fact, I'll go ahead and tell you, Brian Snitker is not on the list of net negatives for this team.